Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 just for a moment. I'm really continuing on with the message that the Holy Spirit seems to be teaching us on. I really like how it's coming through Alan about the difference between being purpose-driven and spirit-led. And as most of you know, there's a very famous book that came out a few years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. And I got to tell you, for people that have never had this kind of teaching, I think it's a great book, because it'll put them to work doing something for the kingdom, you know. I think it's a good book. Find a purpose, you know. And also, let's take one more step. People that's never been baptized in the Holy Ghost just have a really hard time hearing God, man. I mean, God can get through to you if he wants to. He can ring your bell, okay? But it's difficult. It's just very difficult. I know the difference. I've been a Christian without being baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I've been a Christian having been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And there's just a big difference in your ability to hear the Lord and follow His instruction. So the purpose-driven life has got its purpose. Yeah. Okay. In the body of Christ. But you're going to the wrong church for that. See? What we're really after is be led by the Spirit. And the message I did last Sunday night called Spirit-Led Ministry. And now that's what we're talking about. You don't even decide if you're an apostle, if you're a pastor, if you're an evangelist. You don't really have a choice about that. Jesus decides what you are. Thank you very much. He places you in the body, you know. And now you can get promotion. You know, Paul didn't start off as an apostle. He was either a prophet or a teacher. And he got promoted later to be an apostle. And in my opinion, he was God's choice to replace Judas. But what's on the mind of Christ tonight, you don't want to confuse Spirit-led ministry with the love of God. Okay? Spirit-led ministry, all of that's true. I agree 1,000% plus 10 with everything Alan is teaching. But you don't want to confuse Spirit-led ministry with manifestations of the love of God. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit tonight. Now, Spirit-led ministry, we'll just get our mind going that way again on Romans 12 here. And you got to remember again, when he says, I beseech you, therefore. Therefore means, based on everything that he's written already in this letter up to this point, and really, you need to draw a connecting line in your thinking back to chapter 8. Because chapters 9, 10, and 11, you could really put a parenthesis around those three chapters. He digresses in his teaching and talks about the Jewish people there for those three chapters. Then in chapter 12, he's picking right back up where he left off in chapter 8. Well, chapter 8 is where he talks about how the new nature has given us victory over the flesh. How it's through the Spirit that you mortify, put to death the deeds of the body. And even though that's a capital S, it should be a little s. It's talking about your new nature. But then it also talks about the Holy Spirit also, in addition to that new nature, also helps us against our infirmities and our weaknesses and this, could we say, strongholds in this church, okay? But he's leading up to this. He's saying, now look, every one of you can find your place. Not everybody. So let's just read it here for a ways in Romans 12. And then he's in chapter 8, he talks about that we don't even know how to pray as we ought. Well, when you don't even know what you're called to be yet. How would you pray? You don't know what you are. But see, the Holy Spirit, he says, he makes intercession for you according to the perfect will of God. So from the get-go, if you start praying in tongues, he's not praying the plan for Gary Carpenter through your life. He's praying the plan God has for you through your life, see? So you don't know what to pray as you ought. Well, he makes intercession for you with groanings that can't be uttered. Why can't you utter them? You don't know what to pray as you ought. You don't even know what you're called to be yet. But he'll make intercession for you. Now, if you continue that process, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Ephesians, he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you connect this up with chapter 8, he was saying the Holy Spirit, he'll begin making intercession for you according to the plan of God. You'll start off not knowing the mind of Christ, but as you do this, your mind will be renewed. You will come to the place where you'll know his mind for your life. Can you see this? Connecting it right up. then you'll be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it just means the more you do this, the more you present your body on the altar of prayer. That is really what he's talking about. It's not fasting is good, but he's not talking about that. Other things are good, but what he's, if you're going to connect it up with the thought pattern that he had in chapter 8, he's talking about the ministry, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you have ever set out to pray for 2 hours? Looked at your watch after 15 minutes. Can we all agree that as far as your body is concerned, let's say it this way, your soul, the part of you that likes to be entertained, the part of you that doesn't like to be bored, it is a living sacrifice. You have to hold that rascal there and make it pray. I mean, my soul would, it's amazing to me because I don't like mowing the lawn at all, but my soul would rather mow the lawn than sit there and pray for 2 hours. It's just, it gets a feeling of accomplishment. You know, it's, we're doing something. Well, you're doing something when you're sitting there praying in other tongues and letting the Holy Spirit make intercession for you. You are renewing your mind. So he comes on down through here. He says, be not conformed to this world. I did that. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me. Now, what was the grace? What was the calling? What was the office of God to Paul? Well, he wound up being an apostle. So he's saying, through the office given to me, through God's grace, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And he starts going down through here all of these different types of ministry. And now this is the essence of the Spirit-led ministry. This is totally opposite to the way that you got into ministry in the denomination I came up in, where you know they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You basically, you feel the call of God, all right. You know you're called to do something. And so you'll wind up going through seminary and going through the training, and eventually you got to decide, am I a missionary? Am I a pastor? What am I? And you know, then, okay, well, I'm a missionary. Okay, so you take that training, all right? Eventually you're going to graduate. Where do I go? Am I going to go to Honduras? Am I going to go to, you know, Sepulpa? the vast unreached land of Sepulpa. Yeah. But it's good intentions, and it's not that God doesn't bless that. Don't tell me he doesn't bless that. Don't tell me there's not blessings for, like Mother Teresa, who gave her life to feed those poor people in India. And I mean, there is a blessing of God and an anointing of God, I think, to go with that. But that's just not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here, you're in the wrong church for that. You're also in the wrong church for I felt led. You need to just wipe that out of your vocabulary. You know, we'll have mercy on you till you do, but you're at the wrong church for that. I felt led. No, listen, you're an intelligent being. We're saying that. You're an intelligent. He is an intelligent being. Trust me, he is able to communicate with you. And he's way smarter than we are dumb. You keep in prayer, you can't miss it. Because he's just better than that. If he has to get you out of bed and put you to bed every night, you're not going to miss it if you spend the time with the Holy Ghost, because he's just better at his job than that. Okay? Well, now, at the same time that we're doing all that, now what happens is people go, okay, I'm going to be led of the Spirit. Now here we go. We start going to extremes. You can be turning to Luke 10. You start going to the extremes, and Dave likes to tell this story. He said they one time had a prophet come, you know, quote. And when they got to tell you they're a prophet, that's your first red flag, okay? You know, I am a prophet of the Most High God. Okay. Well, and he was going to stay at Dave and Rosalie's for a while. And this guy says, I'm so led of the Spirit of God, I don't even wash my clothes unless God tells me to do it. Rosalie said, if you're going to sleep on my sheets, you're going to wash your clothes when I tell you to do it. Now see, we're talking about Spirit-led ministry. Let the Holy Spirit, through the process that's taught here at this church, let him lead you, train you, mold you, tear down strongholds, and get you ultimately into what He has called you to be in His body. Along that journey, thank God, He does not have to tell you every time it's time to change the oil in your car. Wouldn't that be something, a bright light appear over the bed in the morning? What is it, Lord? Yay, Lord. It's been 5,000 miles since you last changed. You know. Now, if you forget, I've had God remind me. I mean, he's that good. He'll remind you of stuff, you know. But he did give us our five physical senses. I mean, this body is an earth suit, you know. It's like if we send men into outer space, we put them into an outer space suit so they can survive. Well, you've got an earth suit to navigate on this planet. He gave you eyes and ears so that if you're standing on the street corner and you look to the left and the bus is coming, do not step in front of the bus. You know? I mean, that's the way it is, okay? But now, see, if you're not careful on this becoming spirit-led, then you'll have people start saying stuff, well, you know, I won't. You find somebody in need or something? Well, let's examine that a little bit, okay? Let's look at the love of God now. All right, so where was it? Where did I tell you to go? Luke 10? Okay, let me go there myself. Comes before John. Luke chapter 10. What we're going to look at is what you think we are, is the Good Samaritan. So, starting in verse 25, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Now this guy's justifying himself. Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He must not have felt led. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now you got to remember, during this time, the Samaritans were just despised. They were just despised by the Jews. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him. Notice he doesn't pray first. Okay, notice. This is the love of God. Now, this is not, we're not talking about spirit-led ministry here. We're talking about manifestations of God's love. God does not like it when people go hungry. God does not like it when people get hurt. God's not in all these car wrecks and accidents like religion will tell you. God's not in all these broken marriages. And God's not in a lot of stuff that's going on. That's why Jesus said, pray, Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. If His will was already being done here all the time, there's no need to pray that prayer. Well, God would look on that situation. He's looking for hands. He's looking for hearts. He's looking for somebody that'll take some time out of their busy day and help this guy. And you don't have to hear a voice from heaven. That's what He's teaching here. You don't have to pray and fast to find out what to do. The man's bleeding. He's half dead. I've been in some bad situations in my life. I've had better care from some sinners than I have from Christians. Okay? The love of God will help. Love without action isn't love. Now, love without action is just not love. Husband says, I love my wife. Doesn't provide for his wife. Doesn't ever do anything to help his wife. Words is not enough. God so loved that He gave. He did something about it. And his love in you will cause you to do something about it. Now, there are exceptions. We're going to look. There's a balance even to this. We're going to look at that before this is over. But I love this parable. I love this. It frees me up to help people. Frees me up. I don't have to get a revelation. I made a decision a long time ago. Unless I hear no from God, I give every time. Some panhandlers. Hey, at the truck stops when I delivering trucks for years, they're everywhere. You can't hardly get out of the truck and walk to get fuel, pay for your fuel without somebody panhandling there, you know. And you know they're going to use it on something. I made up my mind years. I mean, I felt a release. I said, God, unless you tell me no, I'm going to give. And I don't care what they use the money for. Maybe it'll help keep them alive till they can get saved or get help, you know. The only thing I do listen for is if he has, sometimes you'll have me give me way more than I would have gave him on my own. They may ask for five, I may give them 20 and tell them Jesus loves them. You got to ask about that, though, see. That part. You don't have to ask to help. What, it's right here in the Word. You've already got this. You don't need anything but this. Let me finish this up. As you can tell, this is... But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him... You know what religion does to you? It makes you hard-hearted. It makes you judgmental. Well, look at that guy. You know why? He shouldn't be in that shape. I don't even want to get near him. I want to cross the road to the other side. Besides, what I'm doing is important, and obviously he's not. Religion just make you mean, you know. Jesus said, he saw him and he had compassion on him. You know, that's exactly what God did when he saw you. See, ultimately, I mean, I know Jesus is teaching exactly on this subject here, but it's also, his teaching is so wonderful. This is the whole story of man. You notice he says it went down physically, geographically. Jericho was way low. It's on the river that feeds into the Dead Sea. Geographically, it's low. Jerusalem sits on a mountain. Man went. God created man up high. Man went down low. And on that journey, he fell amongst a thief. And that thief left him half dead, you notice? Body still operating, spiritually dead. Left him. It's the whole story of man. Jesus is the Samaritan. Jesus is the one that was despised, rejected, and hung on the cross. But he didn't come and see us in that condition and just leave us that way. He had compassion on us. And all he did, he didn't ask the man to repent. He didn't ask him how he got in that condition. Look what he does. It says he went to him and he bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine, set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host and he said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I have heard my master's voice. When I find him in any kind of condition like that, unless he tells me otherwise, go and do thou likewise. Just help. Just help. Didn't know it was going to be like this. I thought I had a nice little message for you guys. All right, go to 1 John chapter 3. See, the love of God is not really... Well, it is your ministry. I don't want to say it. I started to say it's not your ministry. The love of God is not restricted to your ministry. Let me say it that way. You just are a bundle of walking love of God. You're just a blob of love. Is that okay with legs, you know? That's really what God wants. He wants us to just, you know, be a blob of love everywhere we go. Just love people and not be so judgmental. And just help folks, you know. I see, now, I just love, Becky, raise your hand over there. I just love Becky. I've told this before, and she didn't throw anything at me, so I'm going to tell it again. But I didn't know Becky. Becky got on our mailing list, how many years ago, Becky? Long time, right? More than 10 years? More than 10 years ago. And at that time, you know, we were trying to, it was taking all the faith we could muster every month trying to send those tapes for free. So we had a restriction on there. Please, no more than 4 tapes a month. Becky? Virginia, right? Becky? We'd get a letter every 3 days, seemed like. Could I have 4 more tapes? And I need 4 more. And then another letter, 3 days. I need 4 more. Aaron goes, what do we do? I said, send her the tapes. Anybody that's that hungry, if she's really listening to them. And look what's happened. I mean, you know, if you used to hear her testimony, God got you out of witchcraft. Is that correct? Got her out of witchcraft. Rescued her. They've moved here now, been trained at the prayer center, been on a ministry trip to India, for crying out loud, at least once, right? And I don't know what all else the Lord is doing. So it was just, well, we have this rule, but she don't care about the rule. Just send her the tapes. You know? And I'm so glad we did. I'm so glad. 1 John chapter 3 in the verse 16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, how would we do that, John? Well, whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, that's very King Jamesy. It just means you don't help him. I love this. How dwelleth the love of God in him? God's not going to withhold His help from you, not ever. And if His help is being withheld, it's because He can't find a blob of love. You understand? He can't find somebody that He can do it through. But He's trying. He's trying. Whatever it is, you ask the God for something, and He only has His body. He only has us. He's got to find somebody that's got enough of that love that's been transformed enough that loves you more than their money, loves you more than their time, loves you more than whatever. Because God, it says here, the love of God is going to help you. Isn't that the way your Bible reads? And you say, well, I'm not going to help them. Well, can you? Yeah. But you're not going to? No. How dwells the love of God in you, my friend? You know? Is there any restrictions on that? Yeah. We're going to look at them here in a minute. I love verse 18. To my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know they that are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. I could go on and on, but that's the point is this. I'm going to say it again. Love isn't love without action. It may be something else. You may be headed towards love. Maybe you're developing love. And there is a thing called, you know, there is a process of developing the love of God. My Bible says, God's love will help you. Will help. And if you have the ability to help and you're not helping, God's going, you sure that's my love in you? Quiet in this church. Now are there, one more. Let's go to James 2. Now again, don't confuse this with Spirit-led ministry. Can you see how they're two different things? This is, but God's love is just who you are. And the more you do this message, the more you become that. And you don't have to wait for a revelation. If they're hungry, you feed them. You got an extra jacket? I remember, I haven't told this in years and years. I almost forgot it myself. We used to have a saying that when someone gets saved and spirit filled, really, because you get kind of wild, you know, that first 6 months. You know, we saw it happen to us and we saw it happen to everybody else in our group. Said, really, probably the wisdom of God would be, you know, as soon as they get spirit filled, really, and on fire, you ought to lock them up in a closet until they can pray themselves out. I mean, we were wild. I mean, you know, man, I'd witness to a fence post, anything, you know. And I remember I was driving Lazarus. Y'all remember Lazarus? at Pickup that we raised from the dead. And I remember it was a cold day, and I was coming down. This was back when 71st was a two-lane road. I'm taking you back now. And I was out there a ways, and I was coming back, and at that time, I didn't normally pitch. This guy really wasn't hitchhiking. He was just walking alongside the road, and it's clear as a bell. Now, this is Spirit-led ministry, what I'm about to tell you, and Spirit-led love, okay? But this guy just walking along the road, and the Lord said, I want you to pick him up. Give him a ride. So I pulled over, rolled down the window, said, you need a ride somewhere? He said, yeah, I'm going down to the Woodland Hills Mall, and I could sure use a ride. It's cold. He didn't have a jacket either. Got him in the car, and just started witnessing away. I mean, in those days, we didn't ask nothing. You know, just, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? What's wrong with you? What are you doing? He says, well, I'm a homosexual, and I'm on my way to Woodland Hills Mall to make some money in the men's room. That's exactly what he told me. And I said, really? He said, how much money do you think you make? How much can you make doing that? He said, oh, he says, I make, you know, depends how busy it is. Like, you know, 20, 40 bucks an hour. He said, I'll give you 40 bucks for 1 hour of your time. I'll just give you $40 right now if I can talk to you for an hour. So, okay, so I took him, we got breakfast, witnessed to this guy for an hour, never did get him led to the Lord, but I tried, I gave it my all, got him back in the pickup, took him on dinner, gave him the 40 bucks, and the last thing that I'm opening the door to let him out, and the Lord says, give him your jacket, again, which jacket? It's cold that day, I don't have but the one jacket. Said, give him your jacket. I haven't told that in years. I'd forgotten about that. And I let the guy go. But as he went, I said, Lord, I claim his soul for the kingdom of God. I claim that man. Whatever seed is in him, whatever that seed, it'll come to harvest. And I've never seen him since. But I still believe to this day that man will wind up in heaven. See? I'm telling you, that was the best day. I've been to Disneyland. I did not have that much fun. I had a great day that day. Now, when you start having those kind of days with the Lord, that's good days. Okay? You know? And look at all I learned in that. I mean, I didn't even know anything about this guy, but God knew everything. Here's the guy walking down the road, half dead and don't know it. You know? He's physically alive, spiritually dead as a doornail. God had compassion on him, just trying to reach. He found a blob in those days, just a blob anyway, you know. I love that story, see. Well, we're in a world ahead you go. James, chapter 2, look at verse 15. We'll back up just a little. How about verse 13? For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shown no mercy. If we didn't have any other scripture but that one, I make up my mind right now, I am going to be one merciful dude my whole life. Because the last thing I want is judgment without mercy. Okay? Mercy rejoices against judgment. What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? Well, yes. Faith can save you, but what he's talking about here is the manifestation of faith. See, a lot of people, I have faith, but they don't ever do anything. They don't ever help anybody. I like to call them black holes of need. They're always receiving and never giving. There's something wrong. They're like a black hole in outer space. They just suck the light out of everywhere they go. Thank God there's none here. But I've seen them here. Anyway, verse 15. Now, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. Now notice what it does not say. It does not say they're behind on the car payment that they should never have bought in the first place. It does not say they can't pay their cable bill that they're watching the pornography on. We could go on and on and on here. They can't afford to buy the Guess jeans or probably something else these days, but designer jeans, Starbucks, whatever. No, it says they don't have enough clothes. They literally, really don't have enough clothes. And they don't have enough food. And one of you say unto them, well, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does that profit? Faith, real faith, if it has not works, see, it's kind of like me saying, love is not love until it's in action. Just to say it and never do it, that's something strange. It's not what God calls love. Well, faith will have fruit. Faith will have action. If God said, well, I don't know if I can give to him. We just barely got enough ourselves. I know where your faith is. You don't have a lot of faith in your provider, do you? See? Yeah. That's what he's saying. Faith, if it has not works, is dead. Being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. And he says, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith with my works. My God will provide for me, and my daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I said that to somebody today, and it was one of those singers, in Branded. I said, my daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he says, yeah, you know he owns the taters that's under their hooves. I like that. Yeah, and the taters that's under their hooves too. I'm not afraid to share what I have. Now see, and it doesn't say a thing about pray about it, does it? Doesn't say, now seek the Lord, go fast and pray. No. No, this is what love does. This is what love does. And you don't, this is the difference between the manifested love of God. Don't get it confused with Spirit-led ministry. You can't decide if you're an apostle or prophet or a pastor or teacher, whatever you are. You're going to have to let the Holy Ghost pray those kind of things through you. But honey, it's no mystery what to do when it comes to hungry folks. Naked folks, hurting folks, if you can help them, the love of God in you will help them. It's just that simple. Now, does the Bible give us any guidelines on that? Yes, it do. Let's just look at a couple of them for balance sake. Go to 2 Thessalonians. It's on page 1612. Chapter 3. And let me back it up here just a little. Starting in verse 6. Now we command you. Does it say we suggest? Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother, and not sinner, every brother, this is a Christian, that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought, that means we worked, with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power. Now if I had time right now, we'd go and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where he teaches that God has ordained that those that preach the gospel shall live of the gospel, and he had authority from God to forego working if he wanted to. But he wanted to make an example for them to show them that Christians are supposed to be productive, working people. Okay? He says, so not because we have not power or authority, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, now it does not say could not. There are people that cannot. They're amputees, or they're, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they're invalids of some kind. But this is an able-bodied person who can work, and they will not work. What does he say? That if any would not work, neither should he eat. All right? Now, this is not people that are doing what they're supposed to be doing in full-time ministry. I also know that in our current economy, we got people that's laid off everywhere would love to go to work, okay? And they're doing everything they can trying to go to work. And my own daughter was on unemployment for a few months and just going everywhere trying to get a job. Finally got one better than the one she had before, thank God. And I thank God we do live in a compassionate country that has unemployment and those kind of things. But you know, can I just tell it? We're talking, don't feed lazy people. Well, God told me, you know, I'm not supposed to work. Are you in ministry? No. Where are you getting your money? Oh, God provides. What that really means is, I hate this kind of prayer. Would you agree with me? Yeah. Well, yeah. What do you want me to agree with? And I'm now, for benefit of those that can't see me, I'm you know, they don't do this, but they really are doing it. Well, you know, I'm just believing that God's going to meet all my needs. And for benefit of the tape, I'm putting my hand out kind of sideways behind my back. Like, would you agree with me that God will, I've got a $50 need by noon tomorrow. I've just got to meet it. And what they're really doing is they're asking you to meet it. They're asking you to meet it, letting you know about it. Oh, agree with me in prayer. Well, listen, if they can work and the occupation is there, now it's different if you're looking. I mean, there's a lot of people looking. That's different. And then there's retired people. They're living on their retirement. We're talking about, do y'all know the term mooch? We're talking about mooches. They're just lazy. They will not work. And boy, you can't convince them. Now, yes, sir. Go to Luke 16. We'll show you one. Luke 16 is a good place. Y'all know this story really well. It's the prodigal son. And you know what happened? He asked for his inheritance and he went out and he spent it on riotous living. Oh, I'm sorry. Back up. It's in Luke 15. Verse 11. 15:11. I'm sorry. Luke 15:11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And now notice, this is what I want you to see. And no man gave to him. You ought to write out in the margin, thank God. Thank God. And anybody who would have been empowering him to stay in his rebellion. Now that's what I'm talking about. Unless God says no, and this is where I got that from. See, unless God says no, normally you'd walk by, you see a guy there so hungry he's about ready to eat out of the hog trough. Well, based on everything else that we've seen in Scripture, your first, you know, well, yeah, hey, you want to go to lunch? I've got some food for you. But unless God says no, and He will. I mean, I've had Him more than once. Somebody come and my normal deal, if they're panhandling or whatever, I'm going to give them something. I've heard God as clear as a bell say, no, don't you give them anything. You walk right on by. I heard Him say to one minister one time, He says, do not give steak to those that I have put on husks. Now we're back to spirit led. And that's what I mean, see. Unless, that's what I tell God all the time. I say, now look, unless you tell me something, I don't know if the guy's on husks. I see a need, if I see somebody hungry, naked, that needs help, unless you tell me no, I am going to help them. And the thing of it is, sometimes if I'm going to err, I'd rather make the mistake on the giving side. I'd rather make the mistake. So does that sound like a good plan to you guys? You know, we're just, should I call this tape, blobs of love? You know, I'm not going to, but could this be just God's love with legs? Going around helping all these half-dead people. And if we see a need, you don't have to be spirit-led. Feed them. Help them. Clothe them. Give them some gas money. Whatever it is. I heard Dave, this is the third time I've seen this one, so I'm going to go ahead and do this and then I'll close. I heard Dave say it this way one time. He says, God was dealing with him in the early days about this same subject. And so he was asking the Lord, well, Lord, what do I do? And, you know, like it's a wino on Skid Row, and I know if I give them $5, I know that they're going to go use that money on wine. I know they're going to do that. And the Lord says, well, you don't know what that guy's, he might be a Vietnam vet. He might be what he's seen, his friend's face is blown off. Some of the stories my own daddy has told me from World War II. Be talking with your buddy and then duck, you know, and look and, you know, your friend is gone. And he says, that guy, that one you're asking me about, He is barely surviving day to day. And right now, the wine is the only thing that will dull his senses enough to get him through one more day. I'm asking you to help get him through one more day. Because eventually, I'm going to get him to somebody who will lead him to Christ. Or, you know, the idea is keep the guy going, keep him alive, in the hope he's going to get saved and delivered out of whatever it is that he's in. That helped me a lot, that story. See? So again, I think it's a safe practice based on all these scriptures that we've seen from the Word of God. You don't have to seek God whether to help people that are hungry and destitute. That's not what Spirit-led is all about. Just let the love of God flow through you and say, I'm going to help them unless I get a no. And if they're on husks or something, if there's a reason why that you don't want me to give, you just tell me no. I don't have to know the reason why. You just tell me no and I won't. Sue has more trouble with that than I do. You know, she's just really, the love of God flows through her. And she was going to give this homeless person. She was coming out of Carl's Coney's over on the west side. Most of you wouldn't know where that is. We've been getting our Coney's there since the eighth grade. You know, little bitty old shopping center needs to be torn down. She was coming out of there with her hot, fresh Coney's now. And if you never smelled them, oh man. Cheese and onions and all melted and gooey. It's wonderful. And there's this homeless guy. And she just saw him sitting there, her first instinct. Oh, Lord, I'm going to give him my Coney's. And she said in the loudest, sternest voice she's ever heard, no. Get in the car and leave. She says, I have no idea why. But that's the Lord's. And he knows what he's doing. Spirit-led ministry, that's this church. That you're at the right place to find out exactly your calling, be trained for it, be equipped for it. But while we're doing that, don't confuse Spirit-led ministry with just the free manifestation of the love of God. Let God love through you. It's fun. Turn to Luke 16 for just a minute. This is Lazarus that was laid at the gate of the rich man. The rich man did exactly the opposite of the Good Samaritan. Jesus, one of my favorite passages is Luke 15, 16, and 17 down through verse 10. He's teaching on how to steward your life as a servant, even though you're a son, as a servant. Steward your life for God. And so here he gives an example how not to do it. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes and we could go on. Now you know the story. In the light of what we're teaching tonight, he told me this one and I just forgot it. I apologize. This is really an important key. See, because within a few miles of my house, there's a very poor area. And I could drive over there and if I started going door to door, probably in less than a city block, I could find enough need to totally deplete all of the material resources that I have. My cash, my clothes, everything we've got, probably within a block or two. So, you know, years ago, trying to understand God's mind for this. See, He has one body. We're all parts of that one body. And He said it to me like this, and it's in this parable. He says, son, I'm not holding you personally responsible to meet the needs of the whole world. But I will hold you responsible for every Lazarus that I lay at your gate. If you're going to underline anything, verse 20, where it says, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate. Now, I don't know who laid him there, but the way God said it to me, you'll know when he lays a Lazarus at your gate. There was a... Oh, gosh, and you got to be careful. You don't want to say too much, you know. There's lots of needs. I mean, especially where I sit and the kind of phone calls that I get and the things that I know about. And again, I could be depleted in one day. If I just started trying to meet all that in one day, it wouldn't take long. God has this wonderful, wonderful way of letting me know, out of every need that I'm going to face this week, now that's one I laid at your gate. You meet that one. I've got, my body's big. I'll have others meet other ones. If everybody would just meet the needs of the Lazarus that is laid at their gate, God could get a lot of good done in this world. So that was that really helped me. It freed me up from, you know, just, oh, well, gosh, you know, I can't feed the whole world. But that just so freed me up. He says, I'm going to say it again to you. He says, I'm not going to hold you responsible to feed the whole world, son. But I will hold you responsible for every Lazarus that I lay at your gate. And he just has this wonderful way of letting you know. You'll just know. That's one. That's yours. Meet that. Meet this. Anyway, that was needful. I think that'll help you. He's not going to let me go on without sharing this. You know, it's hard to know the balance, not let the left hand know what the right hand's doing and still yet teach. Here's an example. I didn't get any unction from the Lord at all during the Haiti thing. It's like, okay, you can give if you want to, but that's you. And so, you know, whatever you did, now God may have spoken to some of you and gave you a certain amount to send or something, and that's fine. I'm just telling, in me, it was like he was saying, look, I've got the whole world given there. But, let's see, I don't want to get so specific that y'all figure this out. You know, we've had a lot of layoffs in Tulsa. A lot of companies have laid off a lot of people. And none of us could meet the needs of all those people, okay? But in this one particular layoff, God made me very aware of one individual out of probably, not to exaggerate, I think they had employees like 700 or 800 people when this company folded. He didn't ask me to do anything about 700 or 800, but he sure let me know about this one. And it was a few days before Christmas. Last two paychecks had bounced. And God laid that Lazarus at my gate. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, because I feel like he's telling me to tell you. And he says, I want you to take a check for $1,000 over. And that was the Lazarus at my gate. I could obey or not obey. Okay? Somebody, if they found out who it was, they go, well, how come he didn't send you to my house? I don't know. Take it up with him. Maybe he was trying to lay you at somebody else's gate. I don't know. But see, I felt a total release after I did that. You know, there was no, I hardly know that person. I had to call, I didn't know where they lived or anything. But that was the Lazarus laid at my gate. And I felt just totally free after that, see? And so, now what if the whole body of Christ was doing that? You see? He said, yeah, you know, it's my whole body. All the pieces fit together. And if everybody, you know, and he knows where you are, you know, maybe you could give 100. Maybe, you know, whatever. Some of you might could give a lot more than that. But in that case, and it wasn't hard at the time, we could do it, and it wasn't any burden. So praise God. I'm just trying to give you an example of a Lazarus laid at your gate. He didn't lay all the employees at our gate, but he sure laid that one. Got that? Okay. Hallelujah.